message for us. And I was actually so challenged the other day when Stephen shared with us, Stephen Daly from the Gathering Church, and he really has a gifting to teach the word. And I think I was reminded of the importance, and it's not to say that we don't share the word, but I think we need to be reminded of sometimes the basics, okay, of the word and how we have to get back to the basics. I want you to answer a question for me. Okay, maybe you don't want to admit it to someone around you, but the first question is, why do we read the Bible? Why do we read the Bible? Maybe tell your neighbor, just for a second. Okay, turn to your neighbor. Why do you read the Bible? Come on. I'm not hearing people talk, so just talk to them. Why do you read the Bible? Okay, a follow-up is, you know, why do we read the Bible and why should you read it? So, why should you read the Bible? It's very similar, maybe. But... similar answers, maybe some different ones, but hopefully by the end of this message we'll have some good answers. Why do we read the Bible and why should we read it? And my sort of next series that I want to start talking a bit about is getting back to basics. And in this week I was so challenged that, I don't know about you, but everyone, including the world and even the church to a certain extent, seems to be speeding up. Is it just me, or is life really speeding up? Post-COVID, everyone's going 100 miles plus because we have to catch up on everything we missed out on during COVID period, and now everyone wants to breeze past or go faster and harder, and I feel we've missed and lost a lesson. I think I've told you this, that we learned in COVID, we actually need to slow down. We need to value the things that are precious, our families, our relationship with God. Work will always be there. It was there when COVID ended, correct? Or ending, it's ending. It was there. But I think in this next period of time in church, I just want to be sharing a bit about us getting back to the basics. And it's not to say that you don't know the basics, but we need to get back to them, because we need to make sure that these things are constantly growing in our community, in our lives, in our families. So we should read the Bible. It's a good thing to do, eh? Amen! It's church! It's the Bible. Let's read it. So, I think just in reading the Bible, I was challenged this week that sometimes we can read a passage to, or we read around it. Does anyone ever read around a scripture? Like, ooh, this part sounds good. I'll carve out this piece there. Wow. That applies so much to me. I love verse 1 and verse 3. But verse 2, goodness, how do I get around that? And I'm just burdened with that we can't get around the passage. We can't get around the verses. They're there for a reason. The word is there for a reason. We have to cherish it. We have to trust it. We have to make it a treasure in our hearts. We have to enjoy it, even though it's challenging. It challenges us. Our desire should be that when we read the Bible, it's to deepen our relationship with God. And we can only do that if we take it in fully, if we allow it to fully change us in all aspects. I don't know if we've heard that. So it's so important for us to spend time in the Word. We've done this, I remember Ko and Zanini did a poll to see how many of us have read the Bible this week and how many times. I remember we did a blind poll. It was scary. Does that a laughing? I'm like, yeah, that's me. Exactly. But it was scary of how many times we actually spend time in the Word. This isn't to like rub salt in the wound and like I'm already hurting. This worship was amazing, but like I need to spend time in the Word. And I want to hold a few principles before us this morning, and we're going to unpack this going forward. I want to teach you guys, because we do this in Bible school, but I think some of you might not get to do Bible school. We want to teach you some of the principles on how to interpret Scripture, how to read it for all its worth, and make it your own, in a sense. Allow it to change you. But there's a few things that we see happen in Scripture when we read it. And Cornell mentioned this morning, she had just that prophetic scripture where, you know, it's our desire, it's our glory to seek out God, to seek out Him. He reveals Himself.
It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to seek it. It's the
glory of kings to seek it. And it's so important that we seek Him out in the Word. Okay, we can seek Him out in nature and in worship and in our lives. But if we're not seeking the Word, we can deceive ourselves. Right? And in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God, breathed. In some translations, it's breathed by Him. And it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. We could just stop there. That's enough right there. It teaches us, okay? It reveals to us what's happening in our lives. And it is inspired by God. I think it's so important that we even teach this in our Bible school, that we can see, even historically, and how miraculously God's Word is brought together and is an amazing, living book. Okay? Can we just recognize that and be reminded today that God's Word is alive? I'm sure if you read it enough, you start to realize that it's speaking to you almost like a living relationship. And we should have that living relationship with God's Word. Sometimes it reprimands us. Who likes to be reprimanded? No one. Okay, so that's good. So we're going to place the start this morning. No one likes to be reprimanded. But there's passages that when you read it at times, you're like, goodness. I sometimes call them the dagger in the heart of Scriptures. Because it goes in and it's almost sometimes twisted while you're reading it. You're like, oh, God. But afterwards, there's life that comes from it. Here in 2 Corinthians, it says here, Scripture is used to reprimand us at times. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. I'm not sorry that I sent you that severe letter to you. Though I was sorry at first. It's amazing that he wrote it and he sent it, he felt bad about it. For I know it was painful to you for a little while. Now I'm glad I sent it. Not because it hurt you, but because the pain caused you to repent and change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants His people to have. So you were not harmed by us in any way. For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. A worldly sorrow which lacks repentance results in spiritual death. So there's this method that Scripture has to reprimand us at times, to speak harshly about a situation, because it is warning us, it's reprimanding us for an action, for something we're doing. And when we read it, we need to repent. We need to turn away from it. Metanoia, to have renewal and come back to God. So it's very important that we see this. Scripture plays this role. In Matthew 28, it also commands us. And this is a command that a lot of our church, in a sense, is based on our vision and our mission. We're commanded to do these things. In verse 19 of Matthew 28, it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. So there's a few things God commands in His Word, and we need to be able to know what those are so that we can teach people to obey them. Do you hear? Do you see that? This morning? Sorry. So he commands us. He commands us to do things at times. And it's not a suggestion. The Great Commission. The Great Suggestion. No, it's a command. It's like, go. Do it. The Great Suggestion. His promises found in his word. In Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what we heard this morning? Never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. A promise found in Scripture. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? There's instruction, and there's promises as well in God's word. His word is full of promises. But if we don't read them and we don't make them our own, then we find promises and things that are meaningless. It helps us to trust Him, to understand His grace, to marvel at Him when we hold on to those promises. There's also a warning. I'm thinking of a warning sign. I recently was on holiday and I like to run, so you know I like to run. So I did the park run in George, and it's in the forest. It's beautiful, okay? And I was running up this thing, and I'm a little bit competitive at times. So I'm running, I'm following these people that obviously they are locals at this run, and I see them all slowing down, and there's these little boards that say caution. Caution on the race. Who's having caution? I'm not cautioning nothing. I'm going to run down this hill. I also had my cell phone with me and my dad's key, or his bucket, because I couldn't put them anywhere. So I have the one in the one hand and the one in the other hand, and I'm running with these things, and there's little caution boards on the side. And I start running down this hill, and there's these roots, they're spray painted, they're just sticking out everywhere, and it's this gravel, slippery road. I'm running down this thing, and there was nearly two moments where I fell very badly. It's actually a miracle I didn't fall. But I could have fallen. And it would have been terrible. We need to watch out for warnings. Okay? We need to watch out. And we can't just run past the caution sign and think it's going to be fine. You're going to end up in a ditch. And I've done that before, cycling. You can't do it. And the sign is there for a reason. Warning. Okay? I'm sure you can relate in your own life to something. You saw the sign, but you missed it, and you ended up in the problem. So there's warnings. There's warnings in Scripture as well. In Luke 21, it says, verse 34, be careful. Be careful. Or your heart will be weighed down with overindulgence in sensual pleasures, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day, which is the end, will close on you suddenly like a trap. If He warns us of some dangers, we need to take them seriously and watch with a thankful sense of His presence and protection in our lives. There's warnings for a reason. Okay? For example, you shouldn't sleep around before you get married. It's a warning. It's there for a reason. That's one. You shouldn't drink and drive. That's not in the Bible. You shouldn't be drunk. It's a natural law. You shouldn't jump out of a tree. Okay? There's a warning. Don't be silly. Gravity teaches us as well. But this Scripture is full of warnings. We need to allow God's warnings to protect us. Protect our hearts. Can I tell you something? Usually, when a warning isn't obeyed or followed, is what? What is the resistance to that? I showed you my story. Can you tell me what that word is? It's not competitiveness. It's close to it. Huh? Caution? What's that? Pride. Pride comes before a
fall.
There it is. A fall. And I nearly fell. I don't want to see any of you fall in any area of your life. So you need to exercise humility and allow the warnings of Scripture to guide you and lead you. Stop being prideful. You read the word and you're like, but God, does it really apply to me? Does anyone ever read it like that? I'm sure it's not. That's not for me. It's not meant in that way anyway, for me. I can do this. I've done it before. Pride comes before a fall. Be careful, friends. Be careful. In Matthew 4, there's also warnings of deception. Scripture, and we need to read it, and we need to fill our lives with Scripture, because if we don't, the world will tell you what to believe. Can I tell you that? If you don't fill yourself with Scripture, the world will tell you how to live, even as a Christian. You will think like the world. You will act like the world if we don't fill our lives with Scripture. It says in Matthew 4, verses 3, the tempter came to him, came to Jesus, and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written. How do you know if something is written? By knowing what is written. Huh? You need to know what is written to tell someone else what is written. When the world comes to you and says, have you ever thought about this? You say, no, it is written. I know what the truth is. I know what God's word says about a situation. Therefore, I can exercise the truth. Do you see that? So we need to know what is written to practice and to cast out what is not true. I'm caught in this trap at times. Is anyone else here that's caught in a trap where you believe something which is not to be true, even about yourself? I'm going to promote something now that we're going to be doing in 2 weeks' time. It's called Legacy. And we talk a little bit about some things that you believe about yourself that are not true. Your identity. And because of your past and things that you've dealt with, you've shaped in some way. But God wants to change that and speak the truth. But you need to go through that process. You need to allow God's scripture to refresh who you are. And for him to speak his purpose of your life. So we're going to have this weekend called Legacy. I'll invite you at the end of the service tonight. But scripture warns us. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on pizza, on bread alone. On bread alone. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, people could have deceived you. There's no one to trust. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. Where do we find this word? The written word. Each one of us has it. All of us, I'm pretty sure, have access to a Bible here. Whether it's on your phone or actual hard copy. Go blow the dust off. Open it up. The cracks. I know you guys read your Bible all the time. And if you don't, today is a good day. We start reading today. And every word that comes from the mouth of God. So the tempter will come. Can I tell you something? When you least expect it, the tempter comes. He comes when you are vulnerable. He comes when you are weak. He comes when you are tired, anxious, fearful. He'll even come when you're strong. It says, Satan waits at the door. And then we don't have to invite him in. He just waits there until we're so weak and we don't know the truth. He's already in. It's like, hey. You remember what I said? He brings the doubt in with him. Because this is exactly what he tried to do with Jesus. He sowed doubt, or he tried to. He said, if you are the Son of God. And he knows the word. Can I tell you something? Satan knows scripture. He knows it better than you do. And he will use it even against you if you don't know what is written. You need to hear that this morning. There's unfortunately Christians in this living, in this world, maybe even in this church, that God uses scripture. God doesn't use it. Satan uses scripture and he twists it. That's what he does. Satan doesn't create anything. He's not the creator. God created everything. And Satan twists it and he uses it for his purposes. He makes things that are beautiful twisted. And that's how he uses things. Whether it's sex, anything, he uses it, he twists it for his purpose. He didn't create it. He creates nothing. But he brings doubt. He twists it. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus could have done it. He could have. He was the Son of God. But he knew he was being tested. And we get tested by temptation. We get tested with things that are not true. They look true. They even sound maybe a bit true. And that's why all these funny authors that write these funny books, Dan Brown is one of them, he writes all these very, like, it almost sounds biblical. Or they take a lot of facts or truths, half-truths, and they sew them together and hope that you will just lap them up. You need to be careful about what is written, what is true. Be careful of some of these Christian authors here. There's some dodgy stuff there. Know what is written in the Word. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't read any Christian authors. Sometimes you should read it, and you know, you should learn. I call it, you eat the meat and you spit out the bones. Because there's some good stuff there, but there's some bones there. No one swallows bones. You leave that out. But you need to know what is written. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11, Scripture allows us, it describes who God is. If people want to know who God is, they should read the Bible. They should spend time in the Word. Often people, and even today, Christians don't know who God is because we don't read our Bibles. We don't know who He is because we don't spend time in His Word. Remember the things I have done in the past, for I alone am God. I am God, and there is none like me. Only I can tell you the future before it even happens. Everything I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. I will call a swift bird of prey from the east, a leader from a distant land to come and do my bidding. I have said what I will do, and I will do it. So God describes Himself, and it's throughout Scripture. I think we need to be careful at times where we can start to paint a picture of who God is without Scripture. The church, unfortunately, at times, and I'm talking very broadly now, we can get very caught up with the emotional, and God is emotional. But if it isn't founded in biblical truth, we need to be careful. We need to know what God's word says. We can get swept away with a whole bunch of different teachings and things, and it says, even in Scripture, that people want to hear what the itchy ears want to hear. Sometimes there's things that sound so good, and so slick, and they make us feel all warm and cozy, and oh, God's just going to bless you today. You're already blessed because you know Jesus. We have to be careful about what we believe to be true. All of us. I'm not pointing fingers, I'm pointing fingers at me. We all need to know what God's word says and apply it to our lives. And remain true to that. In Scripture, it describes the Son even, who Jesus was. And there's so many passages. I can only have a few this morning, but we're going to look at this in Mark 1. And a voice came down from heaven, and this is recorded of God speaking to His Son. You are my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased. Scripture declares who Jesus is. It declares who God is. It declares who the Holy Spirit is. So when we want to know them, and know who God is, we go to Scripture. We can pray, and we're going to talk about how we grow in prayer, how we intercede, how we worship, getting back to the basics of these things and allowing the refreshment of our revelation to grow. But we need to start in the Word. We have to have God's Word as the base. John 16 describes just the Holy Spirit to you. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. I was speaking to someone earlier in the week, and do you know that If you go studying scripture, we really spend time digging into it. I love to call it the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit. You just start to see the Holy Spirit had to be part of the Bible. It's a miraculous book that was put together by a bunch of authors that make sense. Is that even possible in this day? Imagine you had to write a story, okay, that made sense with 40 different people and hope that it comes to the same conclusion. And that over thousands of years. How is that possible that it makes sense and flows to one point that comes down to Christ? It comes down to what Jesus would do and the prophecies that are fulfilled. It's amazing, right? So when you read scripture, you start to see the fingerprints of the Holy Spirit. And when you start to recognize that God was there, he was present. He used men, but he was present in bringing everything together. As he is today, he is still alive, enlightening and bringing revelation to scripture. So when you read it, why would you not include the author? Why would you not include the author? If you could sit with the author of a book and say, could you explain this to me? Because I have not again. Or how does this apply to me? Because I'm blind and without you cannot see. We ask the Holy Spirit to bring life to scripture. So we should pray, God, help me when I read your word. Make it alive. Let me see it. And then we allow it to speak to us. Is that okay? Because sometimes we just, I'm guilty of this. I just read the Bible. I open it up and I'm like, okay, that was great. I'm always confessing it. You guys never get to expose yourselves. You know? Pastor Miles. You must pray for him. Don't even pray when he reads his Bible. I'm just being honest. Sometimes I read the Bible and I'm like, oh man, I missed an opportunity here. Because I've done, you know, tick list, tick. Ooh, such a good day, I read my Bible. But I didn't receive any revelation. I didn't receive something that nourished me, that was the bread of life. And we need the Holy Spirit to bring revelation. It is the Spirit of truth. It exposes what is true. And then it also exposes what is true in our hearts. His word speaks into our hearts. And Holy Spirit twists the mind. Okay.
Sorry about that.
But it's a loving thing. It's not there to hurt us. It's there to guide us. There to protect us. There to draw us closer in relationship. To show us who God is. To reveal his glory. Is this okay this morning? Are you challenged? Are you excited about just the value of what God's word means to you? He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Isn't it amazing that the Holy Spirit will reveal what is made known to us by God? He will show us. He will show us what God actually intended through the scriptures. So the aim of all of this, of us being warned, of us being shown God's glory, being reprimanded, the promises, and ultimately God's word reveals salvation to us. The gift and promise of the Gospels revealing the glory of salvation to you and I. It shows us how to be church, how we should love, how we should give, how we should serve, how we should live our lives. Scripture is full of that. But I still come back to this, that it's there to help us grow deeper in relationship. It's all about relationship. Our study of scripture is not to get intellectually filled and become professors. If you are a professor in theology, wonderful. But may it be the richness of your relationship with God that determines the wealth of scripture in your life. Not how much knowledge you know, but how much revelation you've received. That you are living out that. That your life reflects that. We need to grow in our relationship with God through the Word. We need to know God's heart. When you pray, you read the Word, you say, Lord, I want to see you in this. I want to see you in the Scriptures, Jesus. I want to know who you are. I want to know the way you live because I want to live that way. I want to live the way you've called me to. So it's to grow in a deeper relationship. It's to know God's heart. For people, for those around you, and to know your identity. Can I tell you something? When people are challenged in our lives, as we are family church, kids are bringing us, this is part of life. The other day I was preaching in Pretoria, and Albert, so no one knew, but my little daughter was saying, "Oh, daddy!" And they were screaming this thing. I'm like, Tanya saw her in the back there. She was at the mother's room. They got a special room there for her. She was far away. We are so grateful to have children in our church. What a blessing. This wooden floor, though, is another. That's another story, but God has given us His word to treasure. And I want to invite us. I found this little, you know, I'm not a big person for reading scripture on my phone. I like to read it on paper. There's something just about reading a paper Bible. But for us collectively to get into the Word and to read the Word. And my wife started reading the book of Mark, recently. And we've just been talking about it when we have breakfast. We just share what God is saying through His Word. And I'd like us to make a practice of that, sharing over a period of time what's God saying to us collectively through Scripture. So I'm going to invite us on a church group. I've got a letter to read the book of Mark together over the next 40 days. It's not a long piece to read each day. There's a devotional piece and a passage. And maybe you skip a day or miss a day. It's not a lot, so you can catch up. But I want us to be surrounded by God's Word. And sometimes it helps to have a bit of a plan. Is there anyone else that can agree with that? Because if we don't have a plan, there's a saying, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. And that's true. Okay? We need to have sometimes tools around us to help us read. So I'm going to invite you. If you're busy on your own reading plan, wonderful. But can we maybe just as collectively engaged by reading the book of Mark together for the next 40 days? Because I believe God wants to show us something of the importance of just His Word. And us discussing it with your friends, with your husband or spouse, or even your kids. What's God saying to us through His Scriptures? And then for us to respond appropriately. Let's not shy away. Let's not get around the Scriptures. Be a lucky packet Christian. Pick up the ones that sound good and, oh, that one's not so good, put it back. Let's be the ones that engage the Scripture. Then it changes. I'm going to pray for us. Now, I'm going to pray for us and we're going to do the announcements. It's very different. Ooh, backwards. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your word, which is alive, God. It cuts between bone and marrow and spirit and soul, and Lord, it's alive. And this morning we just want to recognize, God, that your word is alive. And we're sorry for sometimes treating it as if it's just a book, a guideline. No, it's something that is alive and brings a relationship with you. And we want to come back to just the basics of loving your word, of reading your word, of allowing it to be the thing that fills us, that sustains us, that guides us, that leads us to you and your promises. And we're sorry, God, for where we treat it lightly. Would it reprimand us? Would it warn us? And would it encourage us? Where we see even the challenges around us, would it speak of the hope that is found in Christ Jesus? And this morning, we want to take your word and we want to just honor it for what it is. Would it fill the space in our lives where we sometimes just get caught up with even entertainment? And we know that there's an assignment, God, even in the spiritual realm, to keep us away from truth. That the deceiver, the one who wants to deceive and tempt us, would use even the things of this world to keep us away from the truth. But this morning we can see and recognize that even in our own prideful state, that we need your word. we need you and we're sorry for that. So when we allow you to come and speak to us through your Holy Spirit, breathe life over it, and when we make it a practice, a discipline, to spend time daily reading your word, allowing it to speak to us. We ask for that in Jesus' name. Would you bless it, Lord? Would it bring just fruit and change in our lives? In Jesus' name. A deeper relationship with you. A deeper understanding. A deeper revelation. In Jesus' name.